Good day. Thank you for having me here. It's really important what the radio station is doing for the candidates. My name is Marcia Solis. I'm a lifelong tribal member and have lived here all my life except a couple years. I'm a humble person and I'm proud to be a tribal member. I'm also a mom, grandma, sister, and aunt, and a friend to many. I grew up amongst our people all my life, and I attended school at Warm Springs, Madras, and Eugene, Oregon. My huge family, I have 8 brothers and 6 sisters. My parents were Atwai Rosemary Smith, and my dad was Atwai Roscoe Smith. My grandparents were Lawrence Smith Sr., Gertrude McCoy Smith, Lucinda Scott Smith, and Alfred Smith Sr. So I'm really rich with family, and they're a bunch of characters, I'll tell you, but we all have love amongst us. And some fun facts about myself, just so you can get to know me a little better. I used to play pool at college to make extra money, so I was kind of good at that pool because I earned a lot of money. I had a 20-acre ranch at Sid Walter. It was a small ranch, and we had horses and one registered quarter horse and one registered thoroughbred. And Zeke Scott is the trainer of those horses. I used to also be a woman race car driver in the women brackets. I raced at Balboa, which is in Eugene. I raced in Portland and Boise. I used to have a 1970 Plymouth GTX six-pack, and of course it had to be black. People say I'm a master seamstress sewer, and I've been sewing since I was 16. I make a wide range of garments, and that's one of my outlets in life is all my sewing. I do not claim to be a traditional person all the way through because no one knows it all. It's a lifelong learning and a living process. I've been to the longhouses and ceremonies and home things and all kinds of things through my life here on the reservation. I've been to many, many funerals and name givings. The bottom line here is living amongst the people and being amongst the people is very important when you're going to serve as a leader on the reservation because it gives you a wide knowledge and purpose and love for the people. My off-reservation employment, after I helped Richard Wilson start the Native American program and office on campus at the U of O in 1969, the university hired me to work as the Native American student program recruiter. I was able to travel throughout Northern California, Washington, Idaho, and around Oregon, recruiting natives to attend the college at Eugene. It was my responsibility to get students situated in dorms through registration, through admissions, through financial aid, the bookstore, show them around the campus, health services, and set them up with advising services. So this was an important thing at that level on a college campus because it helped me discover my love for helping and serving people. In my 42 years working for the tribe here, my career path was very wide, and I started at the bottom. I did a lot of office service support jobs. I worked management administrative for over 8 years. I was also an office worker in the recreation center, alcohol, drug program, in the education department. When I worked in the management level, I was also working for the BIA Social Services. So that was really a lot of responsibility for a young person. Eventually, it led me to be working with federal grant programs. When the tribe first had the CETA program, that was really a huge undertaking and interesting to be a part of because we were what they call the prime sponsor. We were like an umbrella and had all the tribes in Oregon under us. Warm Springs the lead, and then eventually it turned to be called JTPA. Then after that, I ended up working in the HR department level for 22 years. I was in charge of workforce development. I just call it WID. And that was a very, very, very good job. I had so much contact with our people. A lot of them got their start in those programs. And during the time when I became a director and manager, I was the only woman in the management team for a lot of years. And it was a really good learning experience. I did set up some training in the tribe, and unintentionally I put our tribe on the map, eventually doing training around the country in office management and court management and leadership development. There was a lot of different topics, and so it was really a wonderful, truly wonderful experience to be able to do this on behalf of the tribe. Yeah, I'm thankful for that. I'm a proficient person in writing. Writing was one of my strengths in college, and I like to prepare things and administer things. It's the right and good thing to do for the tribe. My job entered, also included doing contract work. I learned to do bids and contracts with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Forest Service with the Feds, and BIA Forestry, where I set up training under contract and work for tribal members. I was out there with them planting trees, doing the orchard work, running a chainsaw because we were doing commercial tree thinning. Gopher trapping. I didn't like killing little creatures, but it was part of the work, part of the job. It's really interesting because working in WED, I was able to set up a apprenticeship with the state of Oregon, and we set up standards for carpentry, electrician, plumbing, auto mechanics, computer tech, law enforcement. It was a challenging thing working with the state in the beginning, but after a while it became easier and easier. And during that time, tribal management approached me and they said they had this little pot of money of $87,500. It had been sitting in the budget for years and wasn't being utilized, so I got called in, and boy, I thought I was in trouble, but it was approaching me to submit a plan of how this money could be used in my area. So I got the plan in, and what I did, I was already running carpenter apprenticeship, so I married it to the effort of building homes. And we produced 10 journeymen during that time, all tribal members, and we built 50 homes. And the 50 homes, it was under a special, what they call a revolving fund. That means nobody can get in there and take your money. And so I kept reinvesting it and building more and more homes and bigger homes for bigger families. So it took care of itself after that. And in the end, it worked its way up to $1.5 million from the $87,500. My partners were credit department, realty department, the BIA, water and sewer, the tribal utilities. There was a lot of things that happened during that time. We built a lot of relationships. So in doing that, it gave me a good understanding, along with all my other work, of learning about contracts, accounts payable, paying the bills, receivables, money in, money out, purchase orders, budget mods, line items within the budget. So I have a working knowledge also on leases, economic development, and other key areas such as the Constitution, ordinances, our proclamation, trust responsibility, unwritten laws, and I even learned about ceded lands. My education, I went to the University of Oregon and learned a lot there. I was studying in psychology and started out in the beginning in general studies. And, of course, during that time, finances were getting pretty tight because we only had our trust funds, and it wasn't a lot like it is today. And we were expected to use it on our education. So with the costs of college, you know, it drove me out of being able to finish my college. But like I said before, it helped me a lot in everything in my life. So I do know about college. I do appreciate the fact that we need more educated people. When you mix education with experience, that makes a really good blend to help our people be successful. So other experiences I have and insights living that are going to help me be on council include all the things that I've already talked about, but there's more to learn. Everything is lifelong learning. So it's really good what's happening as far as opportunities in the tribe. Right now, it probably feels to a lot of people there aren't opportunities, but there are. And council's job is to make sure to set direction in line with our constitution, where it talks about the welfare of our people. And back in those times when they wrote the constitution, there was no words like jobs and unemployment and even education. You don't really see a lot of that kind of language in our constitution. And so therefore, it's under welfare. So we have to do everything we're going to do following our constitution. Okay. Can we stop for a minute? Okay, continuing on, I just want to share that, you know, I've been around the country. I've been to about 39 states, and what that means for the tribe and its people is getting familiar with what's going on around us, because what goes on the outside of our reservation eventually is going to impact us here on the reservation. So I've been to Washington, D.C. Over 8 times. I got to go to Atwai Ken Smith's office. I went to the Oregon delegation offices, and I even had a chance to meet with Supreme Court Justice Warren Burger. He was the highest judge of the land, and I couldn't believe I got to meet him and talk with him. I've been to the Department of Labor offices in D.C. because that's where we do a lot of work. I attended federal and state bar national conferences when I was working in a court, and that was only because the tribal council told me I had to go, and so I followed their order and went, and that was really interesting. I was the only tribal court administrator in the United States sitting with a bunch of attorneys, and I kept up with what they were talking about, and I had my time to ask questions about tribal-related things and regarding laws, and of course, you know, they couldn't really answer because they don't teach Indian law back then. So it was interesting to see some of their responses. So I'm not afraid to speak up, you know, and represent our tribe and ask questions that need to be asked. Being on council, I feel you have to be somewhat of an ambassador, and that's all these things that I've shared with you. You have to be able to get up and talk and represent and speak on behalf of your people. And so I can do that, and I'm ready to do it again. And I'm hoping that individuals and employees regain some hope in the leadership. You know, we have to have good leaders at the top levels. You know, tribal council members have to be ready, and they have to be the model, and they have to gain the trust of people and be respectful and listen to the people. We don't have enough communications. The priorities I have with the council and membership, their issues, I kind of been talking to tribal members over all these years, and they've been good teachers, and I don't know if they realize that. Every time I talk to people, I can only speak for myself on this, you learn from the people, the realities and their hopes, their dreams, you know, their challenges, and it helps you formulate your services better. You can't just go in somewhere, especially as tribal council, and just do what you want. It has to come from the people and sit inside the Constitution somewhere. And so we need to, again, make the Constitution a document that it's supposed to be. It does need some revisions, but we have to follow it until then. Okay, and one of my big things all my life is I feel every person is important. And I want people to know that, you know, you might be going through your whatever, it's just like the rest of us, you know, but you're important, you know, and I believe in you. I seen it with my own self during all those years helping people. Okay, some of the other information that I feel is important, you know, is to do things that are in line with goals and try to get away from this reactive answers and actions, going more toward strategic, long-term, short-term, interim kind of thinking and doing. What are we going to start doing, stop doing, keep doing? And those are simple things, and we got to simplify things. Everything's so encumbered. You have to go through a lot of chain of command to get things done, you know, and we need to simplify things. And, you know, positions at the top, you know, it would be, I think, really a strategic move, you know, to help people be more accountable in every job top down. And if they can't be, you know, that needs to be addressed somehow. So it starts at the top with council, showing up on time. These are the small things. Showing up on time, working together, communicating with the people. No more this, I, that. We have to start saying we, and we can only do that truthfully if we're talking to the people. So that's one of the things, you know, I think about. So some of the things that the tribal members have been sharing with me is about the leadership. We have to be doing their job. It's the biggest job on the reservation, and the way we do our job isn't just traveling around the country. Everybody doesn't have to go to everything, you know, get back to the delegating and make sure we always have a quorum and we're meeting often, not a certain amount of days a week. Let's start getting some things done. And when people get on council, again, I'm only speaking for myself, you know, we have to be able to get things done with each other. One person can't possibly start going in there and directing things. We have to work together. So the people are concerned about that on the leadership. Having enough jobs is another thing on the reservation. You know, COVID really took its toll on us, but it's time to go back to work. Answer the phones, be there in person. In person is really necessary, you know, instead of just leaving phone messages and things like that. We need to have people actually on the job site, and that's what tribal members are telling me. Education, they're talking about how do we get more people into college. Doesn't matter who you are or your age or anything. If they want to go to school, maybe we don't have enough funds there. Maybe we don't have enough career counseling or coaching. Maybe we don't have enough student services once they go to college. So that's the kind of things they're talking about. The revenue, they're worried about us being so broke, you know, and how we paying our bills, you know, and the timeliness of things, you know. These are real things to our people, you know, and that's what they're saying, you know. Some of the other things is the housing situation. You know, our population is growing. Our youngest population, adults, is 21 to 35, and they can't find a place of their own on the reservation. They'd like to live here on the reservation, but there's not enough housing. And the rents on the outside, you know, they're skyrocketing. And if somebody has started a family, we need enough homes for family size and large families. maybe some housing for our teachers that come to work on the reservation and our Indian Health Service. That's why people don't want to come here. There's no housing for them. So that's a real challenge, you know, in that area. So in our health care, it's scary because the Trump administration is already doing things and has been doing things, you know, to interrupt good services on reservations, and we're one of those. We are impacted. So our people are concerned about the health care on the reservation. Big one, too, is better protection of our natural resources, our land, water, fish, forest, and our wildlife. You know, what are we really doing there? You know, we used to have more staff, and we had a lot of good projects and programs going on, and the protection is a big one for all those categories, you know. So we need to take a hard look at our natural resources and make it a boost up on the priorities. They're also talking to me about children and family safety and having healthier families and just making things better, you know, so kids can grow up in a safe environment and be able to go outside and play and not worry about getting bit by dogs or hit by cars or things like that. They're worried, too, about our law enforcement. That's the protection part. And maybe some of the laws are need to be addressed. And they're concerned about the big stuff that's going on, the crimes, and just because we don't have a jail facility, you know, and we know it's coming, and it's taken a long time, though. We need to do something about that, and so our safety is not an issue anymore. So those are the things that tribal members are talking to me about. So based on these things, the priorities I see, I stated it in the first tribal council forum. I call it the three E's. That's economic development, education, and employment. These things, every touch into all the things that tribal members are talking about, because without economic development, we don't have the means, you know, for more housing or the jail or adding staff for natural resource protection or health care. So that's why economic development is important. Education, you know, so we can have qualified people, you know, mixing their experience with their education so we can have a happy workforce that's productive. And employment, you know, real key. We do not have enough jobs. Our young generation, they have opposite sleep schedules of adults, older adults. They're up at night and while adults are at home. So we need some nighttime jobs, 24-hour jobs, to make some room for our young people. And that will help reduce crime and make their morale better, you know, because there's jobs that meet their needs. Okay? So we need to transition to on this education, building a bridge from school to work. There is no bridge. When somebody goes to school, how do they come back and enter the workforce? Maybe if they finish a college degree, they should be somewhat of a guarantee, you know, make them a priority. And we got to make room for them, you know. People are staying in jobs all their life, and they're not willing sometimes to train younger people to take jobs. So very important there. Okay, foremost, being on tribal council, you know, it's the biggest job on the reservation. It's not good to bring unqualified or not ready candidates on board. They must already have some skills, experience, and existing knowledge, you know, to come to that table. It's not really a training position, especially in today's extremely challenging times with the federal levels to which have been directing impacts to our tribe and its people. So, you know, tribal council, it's the biggest job, so we need to rethink, you know, when we're going to throw our hat in the ring. You got to be ready. we need to take approaches like, what are we going to start doing, stop doing, don't do anymore? You know, we need to look at our ceded lands and see what we can do with that, because we have rights out there on our ceded lands. And so there's a lot of things that need to happen in those categories that tribal members have indicated are important to them. Okay. There's a lot of information I feel on the housing that could help it a lot. And I think we have people that are really working over there, and there just isn't enough money and staff, you know, for housing. And I think if they partnered with the Carpenter Apprenticeship and get that going really good, then we'd be training people to build homes, which will meet a big need, but at the same time producing journeymen. So serving on council is challenging. There's many needs, challenges, hats to wear, varying audiences to work with. Must be an ambassador duty. We need to have a lot of partnerships to build, rebuild, and stabilize and grow our financial foundation. And we need to maintain our money. And when we grow our money, we need to be careful about what we spend it on. That's the people's money. Each tribal member that gets to vote must be willing to work with the other tribal council members, setting aside personal bias and conflicts to work for the overall membership. And we need to protect what we have. Tribal members are not only shareholders, but need to be partners with tribal council. Tribal reps can't possibly do the things by themselves. I think tribal members are supposed to be representing all tribal members, not just their own districts. I have a commitment to do these things. Please get out to the polls and vote on March 26. Please vote. Thank you.